Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Kim Clijsters, yeah, she was my idol. Like, I wanted to be like.
But she was a hardcore player, wasn't she?
Yeah. So was I.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll get all the fallout from Belfast, where Shelburne got past Linfield in their Champions League first round clash. We'll build up to tonight's crucial European tie for St. Pat's, who take a 1-0 lead to Lithuania, and have Liverpool strong-armed Newcastle into signing their top transfer target. But first, to events at Windsor Park last night, and Shelburne boss Joey O'Brien has urged his players to create more history by securing group stage football in Europe. Shells booked their place in the second qualifying round for the Champions League with a 1-1 draw away to Linfield last night. It finished 2-1 on aggregate. Ali Coote put the League of Ireland champions in front at Windsor Park. Chris Shields equalised from the penalty spot for Linfield. Shells are now guaranteed at least a playoff for the Europa Conference League group stage, and they host Carabag in the first leg of their Champions League second qualifying round tie next week. O'Brien says former manager Damien Duff laid the foundations for their European run.
That was a team that he built, and players that came to this football club, he brought them all in, you know. So I said to the lads, listen, he got us probably here. He's gone now. Make sure it's over to you. Make sure you get out over the line and have a good European football rounds to look forward to. And I just said after the game, this can't be it. Like, this can't be the end of our European run, really. This the buzz of getting through one game. It's obviously looking to get group stages now, you know.
The League of Ireland champions have already earned nearly €2 million in prize money, and defender Sean Gannon says it's great to be in round two.
The importance of going through rounds in Europe, and they're such big occasions, they're great games to play in, and obviously everything surrounding this round of the Champions League and all that comes with it. But for us as players, to be progressing as rounds in Europe and showcase our league, showcase what we can do, that's important for us, you know. We've got a lot of good quality in our squad, and these nights are, you know, a chance to showcase that.
Linfield will now play Žalgiris of Lithuania in the Europa Conference League next week. Their manager, David Healy, said it was fine margins that separated his side and Shell's.
Small details, fine margins, small margins. We didn't capitalise on probably the key moments in the game. Taking the lead here tonight would have created a lot more energy in and around. We had the opportunities to do that in both halves. Listen, credit to the players. They emptied the tank. I asked them to go and leave it all out there. There was moments in the game, certainly later in the game when we were down to 10 men, that become difficult. But I thought we were improved tonight. I thought we were better in possession. There's still one or two moments in the game where we still have to be better at, be slicker, be smarter, be more intelligent. So hopefully going forward we can build on the performance of last week, the hard work and away from home, our performance here tonight, and improve going forward.
Shelburne will now turn their attention to Saturday's FAI Cup tie with Fairview. Elsewhere in the Champions League, Bulgarian side Ludogorets survived a scare to beat Belarusian champions Dinamo Minsk after extra time. In the Conference League, Larne beat Latvian side out on penalties after a 2-2 draw. They'll play the losers of the tie between FC Sheriff and FC Pristina of Kosovo. Tonight, attention turns to St. Pat's. They're in Lithuania for the second leg of their tie with FC Hegelmann. Pats have a 1-0 lead thanks to a second-half penalty from Aidan Keane in the first leg. Last week, Stephen Kenny's four substitutes, Chris Forrester, Keane Levy, Zach Elbazedi and Keane, helped change the game, and they could all be in contention to start tonight. Kenny thinks that their host will be more attacking later on, and he wants his team to build on their advantage in the tie.
It's better than going over hill level, and certainly the other side of it is, if you've scored a first goal, you know they've got to score three to beat you, or at least two to take the extra time. So it is a great incentive to get that first goal.
And on the LOI pod this week, former Derry City midfielder Gareth McGlynn believes that the pace Pats have can hurt their opposition.
It would probably go against everything in Stephen Kenny's mindset, Gareth, but tactically going to this game, or going into this away match, are they better going with some pace on the wings and up front, trying to defend deep and try and hit this team on the counter-attack?
Yeah, I think this is set up for a Stephen Kenny masterclass. I honestly think with the pace, and now haven't seen the team that they're facing, the Lithuanian side in the first leg, I think he's going to go for the juggler. Not completely, but just have the pace ready to rock and roll. I can see Pat's winning this game. Listen, we hope both teams won, that both Shells and Pats go through. But I think with the pace, Elbazetti, Mulroney, and especially Power, I think Power's coming into a wee bit of form. The disallowed goal against Bowes, against Derry the week before that, I thought he was absolutely exceptional. Just mistimed the runs, but he was a real threat every time they got the ball.
In fact, that goal from play was his goal against Galway United as well. It's a really good goal.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's coming under the fore. I think he's bided the time. Stephen's very good at that. When he makes a new signing, he lets the other players play until there's an opportunity. And then once they go on and they're ready, he puts them in there. But I think, if you look at their players, the style, the technical ability within Pats, I think they're suited to European football. I think we saw that last year when they went through a few rounds, and I think this year will be the same. So I expect them to go through.
If you want to hear more conversations like that, you can catch the LOI Pod Weekly wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube for absolutely free. All of our League of Ireland coverage is always 100% free to listen to in full. Kickoff in Lithuania this evening is 5 o'clock and we'll have all the reaction on tonight's Off the Ball with Owen Sheehan from 7 o'clock. That's where Shamrock Rovers will keep a close eye on events in Belfast tonight. In the Conference League, they'll face the winners of the tie between Cliftonville and St Joseph's of Gibraltar. That one finished 2-2 in the first leg last week. UEFA has banned FK Arsenal Tivat from European competition for 10 years after an investigation into allegations of match fixing involving the Montenegrin club. A number of players and officials of Arsenal Tivat have also received bans, which UEFA has asked FIFA to extend worldwide. UEFA said the punishment, which also includes a €500,000 fine and runs up to and including the 2034-35 season, was in relation to a Conference League qualifying tie between Armenian side Alishker and Arsenal Tivat in July 2023. Arsenal Tivat drew 1-1 at Alishker before being beaten 6-1 at home in the reverse leg. UEFA said Arsenal Tivat had violated Article 11 of its disciplinary regulations, which refers to general principles of conduct, and Article 12, which covers the integrity of matches and competitions and match fixing. One player and one official were banned from exercising any football-related activity for life. Three other players were also banned for 10 years. Last night at the Women's Euros, Italy booked their place in the semi-finals with a dramatic 2-1 win over Norway in Geneva. Captain Cristina Girelli scored a 90th minute winner to send the Italians into the last four. Ada Hegerberg had made it 1-1 for Norway shortly after missing a second half penalty. Tonight, defending champions England play Sweden in Zurich. England beat the Swedes en route to lifting the trophy in 2022. And fullback Lucy Bronze knows Sweden will be out for revenge. She's predicting an exciting game.
This is two teams that are in this game to win it. No sitting back. Both very talented, athletic, physical. Everything that you think of in a football game could happen because both teams are at that level.
Kickoff on that one is 8 o'clock and the winners will play Italy in the semi-finals. Canadian international Olivia Smith has become the first £1 million signing in women's football after moving to Arsenal from Liverpool. The 20-year-old has signed a 4-year contract with the Champions League winners and will wear the number 15 jersey once worn by Ireland captain Katie McCabe. Smith was Liverpool's top scorer last season with 7 goals. She joined from Sporting 1 year ago for a then club record fee of €250,000. Now, speaking of Liverpool, they've opened talks with Eintracht Frankfurt to sign 23-year-old French striker Hugo Ekitike. Newcastle were thought to be pushing ahead with their attempt to sign Ekitike in the hope of pairing him with Sweden international Alexander Isak, who's also been linked with a move to the Premier League champions. But Fabrizio Romano's reporting this morning Newcastle will walk away from a deal for the French under-21 international. David Ornstein in The Athletic is reporting Liverpool will have to pay a package of more than €80 million for Ekitike. He's also reporting Newcastle are now exploring a move for Brentford striker Johan Wisse, although there's still no contact between the clubs. Manchester United's move for Wisse's Brentford teammate Brian Mbeumo has stalled as the London club have increased their asking price to closer to £70 million. United don't want to pay more than £65 million. Now, Alejandro Garnacho is looking for a new club, and Aston Villa could be his next possible destination. Villa boss Unai Emery is said to have an interest in taking the 21-year-old Argentine off the books of Old Trafford. Juventus are the latest club looking at doing a deal for another United want-away player in Marcus Rashford. Meanwhile, United are considering a move for Chelsea forward Nicholas Jackson, who didn't have a great Club World Cup, and he'll find first team opportunities more limited after the signings of Liam Delap and João Pedro. Chelsea's transfer funds after winning the tournament could see them go big in the market again, making Villa midfielder Morgan Rodgers their next potential target. AC Milan and Manchester United are also engaged in a tussle for Brighton left-back Pervis Stupinan. Atalanta's African Footballer of the Year, Ademola Lookman, is wanted by Inter and possibly Atletico Madrid too. Atleti are offloading World Cup winning midfielder Rodrigo De Paul to Inter Miami, where he'll link up with his international teammate Leo Messi. Thiago Almada is set to join Diego Simeone's Atleti from Botafogo, while Leandro Paredes has already left Roma to go back to his boyhood club, Boca Juniors. German champions Bayern Munich have highlighted Stuttgart's Nick Valdemade as Harry Kane's eventual replacement. Stuttgart have rejected their initial offer of €50 million. And RB Leipzig have completed the signing of winger Johan Bakayoko from PSV. It was reported earlier in the summer that Nottingham Forest were interested in signing the 22-year-old. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back tomorrow with some build-up to the FAI Cup second round ties.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.